Welcome to the Legion Outriders podcast, a member of the Radio Free Tattooing Network.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Your source for the latest Legion news, opinion, and analysis.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
How's it going, Outriders? Matt, Jeff, and Daniel here with you today, recording live from our studios in the capital of scum and villainy, Las Vegas, because that's how recording works. You start live and then you record it.
I was going to ask, do we ever not record live?
I don't think it's possible unless we recorded a segment, played it back while recording, whilst recording okay. That new recorded segment, and then we will re-record it.
I'm going to phone it in
after
next
the
time.
Fact. Yeah. Yes.
And our studio audience?
Live studio. Oh, we laughed back. Oh, yeah. We broke it. All right. How's it going, guys? It's been 2 weeks since our last time, and yeah. We've got the corpse of John lurking in a closet somewhere. We'll pull it out if we need to, but it'll be fine.
Starting to smell a little bit.
Matt's been working on his puppeteering.
He was smelling like that before.
Oh, yeah, true.
That's not a new development is what I'm saying there. But Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm tired, actually.
Tired because you've got quite a few events to go through with us here. Daniel, you good, bud?
I'm doing awesome.
Fantastic. Well, I am good also. But Jeff, you were at Disneyland.
I was.
How many days were you out there?
I was out there for 5 days, but I was only in the park for three. So,
For the other 2 days? You bumming around for change to pay for your trip?
Driving out there. Yeah, pretty much. It was expensive.
Hey, travel to Batu is not easy nor quick.
Driving out there one day. We got there like midday, and then the last day was driving out. So we went to the beach and then drove out around noon. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, not quite 5 days.
You had fun, though?
It was fun, yeah. There's a lot of people there.
Where'd you guys end up staying?
We rented a house. So my family went with me, too.
Oh.
My parents, my sister, her daughter. Like, we had 9 people in a house. Ten people in a house.
Holy crap.
So it was like my house here, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like fewer people in my house here.
The Jeff's Ark.
Yeah.
With all the animals and peoples. In order to repopulate and replenish the world.
I think that's the best way to do it, though, because we had we had showers for everybody. Everybody had their own
rooms,
pretty much.
Well, that's good. You know, hygiene's always a good thing. Yeah. Just because you're going to Disney doesn't mean you can stop bathing.
Versus, like, a hotel where everybody's crammed in there, and then you're waiting on, 6 people to take a shower in front of you. So, it was nice. It was good.
And that's a good Legion pro tip for everyone out there going to events.
It doesn't just apply to Disneyland. You can you can shower and bathe regularly. Anytime you go into public.
But showers, that's not important. Rise of the Resistance is what's important.
That's what's important.
Yeah. So, do you want to go ahead and start off with that? I think that's a good start.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So we got to the park maybe half an hour early, and we found out that you have to be, like, checked into a Disney app.
Yep.
You have to have all your tickets scanned.
Yep.
And then you want to be, like, on your phone.
You need to be on
7:59.
Premises.
Yeah, on premises. So we got in, I think we got in, like, 3 minutes after they opened the boarding passes, and we were group 76. And they went to group 81 for the day and then shut the ride down.
Yeah.
So we barely got on 3 minutes after they opened the passes. Yeah.
Jeez.
So we got lucky. My niece was the one who got in. And then like seconds after she got in, I got in. I had the app tell me, okay, go ahead and get your boarding pass. But we already had one, so it wouldn't let me get another one, obviously. So if you're going to do that, get there early, plan on it, and then... If you can try to do it your first day, do that. Because if like the ride shuts down, at least you have another day to do it. That's what we did. We had a buffer day, just in case.
Because
we had that second day.
A little bit of complications, apparently.
Yep. So the ride itself, I'm not going to say any spoilers.
Was it worth it?
It was worth it. Yeah.
Nice.
So it took all day for our pass to come up. I think we got in at like 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, pretty late.
So that's a 12-hour day, right?
Yeah,
there.
Cranky
the kids, children.
The kids
everywhere.
Were exhausted. I gotta give it to them though; they hung in there.
That's good.
We only had one accident. It was because we were in the Rise of the Resistance line, and there's no bathrooms, and it was like an hour wait. Like once you got into the line, it was a long wait.
Yeah,
but 100% worth it. The Disney staff that's on hand are in character the whole time you're in the ride, so that's really cool. The ride itself was awesome. Lots of different like aspects from other rides that go into this one ride. So it's not just one ride. It's more like a line, which, you get to see a lot of stuff, a pre-ride. And then there's like a couple other things. So it's almost like 3 or 4 rides in one. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay.
The narrative was kind of cool. The special effects were great. Like, lots of actual practical effects going on that make you feel...
Oh, really?
Like, you're in the, you know,
environment. I was wondering if it was just all, like, screen and CG and whatnot. Or...
No, I mean, yes and no. Like, yeah, there's practical effects. There's, like, technological effects. If you're interested and you're not... You don't care about spoilers, there's a couple videos on YouTube that where they talk about the technology that they use. But they do go into spoilers. If you're still interested in it, just wait till you do the ride and then watch it. That's what
I'll probably do that this summer then.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the behind the scenes stuff for especially like the Disney park stuff.
And it's good. It was running well, because I've heard lots of reports of it breaking down very frequently.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's why ours got shut down early, is we had a couple things come up with the ride, and there's a lot going on technologically with that ride, like cars being charged constantly. You know, if you know anything about the ride, it's not on a track. It's like these free moving cars.
It looks like it's kind of the ride technology they used in the China version of the Haunted Mansion, the Mansion of Mystery or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a Mystic lot more Manor. Free. Yeah, Mystic Manor. Thank
Mystic
you.
Manor. Yeah.
And they kind of like spin around and they can go kind of, you know, on their own routes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you're into technology, it was kind of cool to watch it. I mean, it's not a spoiler, but they use RFID to track the location of every... car real time, and those are all communicating wirelessly, so there's a lot of technology involved. If one piece goes down, shuts the whole ride down probably. So that's why, you know,
not a good failure tolerance on it,
right? But I think, I mean, for what they have, it's pretty good.
Well, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, because one of the Jungle Cruise boats just sunk the other day and shut all that down.
So. Right. Perfect.
That's a very low-tech reason, though.
Yeah, it's
like,
yeah.
Boat sank.
Yeah. They just leave it there and it's part of the ride now.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, the survivors, ignore them. Like, no, they're guests.
Please send corn dogs.
$8 corn dogs. Yeah, so and Dole Whip.
They're so good.
Yes.
But yeah,
the Dole.
My overall thing, if you go to Disney and you're a Star Wars fan, absolutely try to do this ride. It was really fun.
When we go out for Celebration, that's definitely, we're going to try to get out to the parks, and hopefully it's going to be all the Star Wars fans though, so it's probably going to be a miserable too.
Oh, it's going to be packed.
They announced a Disney After Dark like we did last 2 years ago.
Yeah,
been 2 years now. But the tickets were gone instantly. Like,
yeah,
we didn't even get a chance.
Yeah,
because it's the same week as Celebration, which is happening across the street. So.
Yeah. So that second day we were at the park, we were riding the tram in, and we heard that the tickets were all gone. All the boarding passes were gone in 18 minutes.
Did
so
they put that over the PA and just kind of laugh at you?
So there's a sign
just
that's
so
like,
you know.
It's perpetually out, I think. You know, all boarding passes have been issued for the day. Like, I think they just have it ready to go. But yeah, that was fun. The park itself is a lot of fun. There's a lot of small, like, you know, nerdy things for Star Wars fans there. I picked up my my Jedi Holocron. Yep.
You were showing off. You got a black Kyber crystal, too.
Oh, so geez, my daughter saw me buy one, my seven-year-old. She saw me buy one, and she was like, I want to get one, too. So I was like, all right. You know, they had, like,
You've got a job. You can afford it.
Yeah. Well, I gave them $200 each because, we don't go out there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you.
Yeah.
Well, I know how expensive Disney merch is. So I was like, $200, you can get three big things or a lot of little things, probably, like four little things. So my son got a DJ Rex. She got a the cube, the holocron, and then she picked out a red crystal. And I was like, hey, you know, there's a chance you could get a black crystal, and they're really rare. Naturally, that's the one she pulls.
Yeah, because it's a little girl.
She doesn't give
her the angry crystal.
She doesn't care anything about that black crystal. And she's the one that pulls it. I saw
a thousand nerds screamed out in anger.
Our Outrider chat, you were just blown up with photos. Did you have to leave a child behind with all that merch you were dragging back?
No. We made them carry the merch. That was they were our pack mules.
Had a sled hitched up. Well, that's cool, man. Thanks for sharing. Sounds good. I know you've been waiting to get out there for a little bit, too.
Yeah, it was fun.
But Star Wars news, we've got other actual Disney-related news. Going to our Star Wars Live correspondent, Daniel.
Yeah, so announced... Oh, God, I did not write the date on here. But StarWars.com did announce
that... 3 or 4 days ago?
Yeah, it was 3 or 4 days ago. Yeah. Project Luminous, some of the details have come to light. Project Luminous, of course, was the working title for a project of publications. And the actual title is The High Republic. And they're going to be setting this group of stories... 200 years prior to The Phantom Menace. So it's a place that hasn't been explored yet. It's going to leave a lot of flexibility for authors and comic book writers and whatnot to kind of flesh out and fill.
This actually kind of makes sense with all the rumors that were going about the Old Republic. It's like, it's not actually Old Republic. It's just older than Phantom Menace Republic.
So the Old Republic, the game, when did that take place?
That was thousands of years.
Thousands of years.
So, yeah, this is an era that hasn't been touched by legends nor current canon.
Yeah.
Although
I did see a concept art for a younger Yoda.
I didn't see an official one.
No, not an official one.
Oh, yeah.
But, so, yeah, was it official? I don't know. It had the illustrator saying something. I should have read the article. But it looked kind of cool.
Yeah, thinking
about like a middle-aged, just kind of still kind of trying his best, but kind of sick of it Yoda out there.
How old was when he passed away finally? When
it
he
was became 900.
900?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
So he's just trying, just 2 weeks from retirement, Yoda. So.
Wait a second. So he's like in his midlife crisis.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's towards the end. I mean, he's
buying
been
convertibles.
Doing it for 700 years now. Come on, man. Give him a break.
He's got a dual-bladed lightsaber.
Yeah.
Anyone listening out there hasn't looked at the art for this. It's they're going with a very particular aesthetic, kind of a Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
A lot of gold filigree.
I liked it.
Was that Hopper that was like the older Jedi with the beard on there? I was pretty sure that was Stranger Things.
Oh, jeez. They're just setting up movies ready to go. Like,
I 100% staking my claim as a Star Wars nerd that this will be the next trilogy of movies.
It feels like a good...
Officially... It's too close to them announcing them, and they're introducing a new saga, and they said it would have nothing to do with Skywalkers. It just makes... It ticks too many boxes for it to be coincidence.
For what has been announced, they've said that... And they actually, in one of the press events, they did actually mark this as Phase 1. Mm. I don't know if they're adopting the whole MCU thing here.
Interesting.
But Phase 1 will be publication only, meaning books and comics only for the first phase.
You set the characters.
Definitely do a lot of world building and set up the characters and an overarching storyline. There's no reason why it couldn't go into other mediums later. Yeah. But
I mean, they've got 2 years to plan, right? Like, just from like looking at what they're doing now, they're working on The Mandalorian. We've got the second season coming out this year. They've got Obi-Wan slated for either later this year or early next year. It's probably going to be early next year.
Yeah, I think it's getting pushed out. Yeah.
So they've got, two series they're already working on. So that gives them kind of 2 years of, satiating the appetite without flooding, or force feeding fans Star Wars stuff.
Well, I can't wait to see the adventures of C-3PO.
Yeah.
The slightly less advanced protocol droid.
They just take the
1.5 million languages.
Yeah, take the concept art from C-3PO and just throw that
there
in
you
there.
Go. See, that's what they do. What is old is new again. Yeah. Thank you, Macquarie.
So, speaking of Celebration Anaheim, the first publications will be released during Celebration Anaheim. So.
Yeah.
You'll have to pick some of those up while you're out there.
I guess I will have to.
Yes.
Am I going to be your hookup there?
Maybe. So I never got into the books too much before. I just started listening to some recently since I got into Legion.
Yeah.
And same with comic books, but man, I might have to check these out.
And not sponsored by, but I pick up all my Star Wars stuff on Audible. It's
just
easier to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I do it. I was like, I'll have the books to have them, but... Yeah, I pretty much consume everything on Audible now.
Yeah, I'm cheap. I use the library. I just spent like $4,000 at Disney.
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
Also, more Disney news.
So this is more the business side, so I'll be quick because I know this is kind of boring for most people. But
No, tell us about all the legislation happening in the Senate.
Exactly. But the Senate, the former emperor of Disney, Bob Iger, CEO, rather suddenly announced he was just stepping down. And Bob Chapek, who was former director of the parks, is replacing him. Iger isn't leaving the company, though. He is moving to the board of directors. We see this more, well, not me, but I kind of see this more as the CEO handles the day-to-day operation of the company, whereas the board of directors works on more of the bigger picture meta creative side. So
I am the Senate.
Yes. So Bob Iger will be doing more creative things, and then Chapek will take over the minutiae.
So we got a Putin situation here going?
Maybe.
Okay. that was surprising.
Yep.
Good luck, guys.
This actually wasn't on the agenda, but two episodes of The Clone Wars have come out, and both of them have been amazing. I don't know if you guys have...
I haven't watched it. I've got a lot to catch up on.
I mean, the whole trope of like the Bad Batch and all that kind of stuff and Dirty Dozen and all that, it's been done before. But seeing it in Star Wars is actually pretty cool. But I swear to God, if they say anything else to freaking Rex like that, he's just going to slap the disrespect out of their freaking faces.
But the animation has greatly improved, even from earlier seasons of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it looks really good.
So yes, if anyone has not watched Clone Wars Season 7, we highly recommend.
Yeah. Big thing.
2 out of 3 Outriders I could recommend because I haven't seen any.
So you abstain.
I'm the fifth dentist that is a jerk.
You just didn't get to name the brand.
I haven't tried Trident yet.
Yeah. I can't make an educated decision about that.
But I do like the Clone Wars. I have a lot of painting to do, so I'll just watch a clip.
Okay. Anything else news-wise?
Outside of Legion, that's the major stuff that I was able to find.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we are now also on the heels of the release of the Saber Tank. The B2 Battle Droids, the Phase 2, came out yesterday as of recording now.
Yep.
And I heard that there were some shipping issues.
Yeah, so I saw on the Facebook.
Also, give me my AAT. Damn it.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's the trade blockade. Every single time.
Is that illegal?
I would make it legal.
So I saw on the Facebook that, you know, there were some stores that didn't get anything except for Phase 2s, and even those were limited. And, there's a lot of speculation as to what's going on, if it was under production, if it's, you know, coronavirus stuff, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been so much disturbing news coming out of the house of FFG that it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. They're just getting...
In all fairness, though,
by Asmodee,
a lot of these things are not their control and not their fault.
No, for sure.
So I know there's a lot of
grain of salt. Yeah. Put down the pitchforks, but still,
because you don't know what production issues they have with the tanks, and I know from my point of view, I try to stay optimistic. So if they're having issues with production and they're like, "Hey, we're going to push this back a month," but you're gonna get these quality products. Well, I have my tank sitting on the table.
Yeah, and I was commenting, God, that thing is way bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah. But for the AAT players, I feel for you. I do, because I know, like, when Sabine, I think, got delayed and there were delays there, I was, you know, chomping at the bit. So.
And stuff.
But yeah, hopefully the products
should
get.
It's not a pork strike or a coronavirus. Yeah. There's something going on.
Yeah.
But I did get my tank. I think I'm the only person who bought stuff right now, right?
I'm going to go pick up mine here, and like basically as soon as we wrap. Yeah. So I'm supposed to be doing some clones versus droids later today.
Gotcha. But yeah, I picked up my tank, slapped it together real quick, skipped a couple instructions, and then realized it at the end when I was like, oh, look, I've got extra parts.
I'm super good at this. Yeah.
I can read. I can. I just like to skip things.
Choose not to.
Yeah. But luckily, they did a good job with how it goes together. So the parts that I did miss, I could snap into place kind of easy with a little bit of trimming. And then I got them glued into place. But yeah, the tank looks really good. I'm excited to put the Phase 2s together. I think the hard plastic is going to be great. Just the detail on it alone is really good.
Nice. So as we mentioned, AAT is getting delayed. You got notes here saying March 20th. Well, fingers crossed that will be the case.
There was an announcement on the Adepticon Facebook page that was linked over to the main Facebook page.
That they're going to have it stocked there for people at Worlds.
Right, so they'll have, quote-unquote, ample quantity.
That's cool.
At their own booth.
I'll definitely do a survey when I'm over there.
Yes, and they did say that it was legal for Worlds, and it will be exempt from the Adepticon painting requirement.
Wow. Cool.
So FFG is doing everything they can to make it available,
make it legal.
And of course make it fair for the if it wasn't available, I could see practically no droid showing at Worlds.
And they gave the base dimensions, the height.
Just break out a pie plate and throw a can of soup on there and definitely put on the table and practice
a pile of trash, because that's what it is. Wait, I'm just kidding. I think it's gonna be good.
How about those droids they showed off in the second episode of the Clone Wars?
Oh, stop. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just twisting the knife a little bit because you're being a jerk. what else we got? AT-RT image for Republic was leaked.
Yeah, very so cool. that was, I think, on
the Spanish
Discord.
Yeah, couple of cards that actually came out on that.
No, that it was just the box art.
Oh, I swear somebody put up a... picture of something. Oh, it was the commando droids that was in Spanish.
I think so. But we have that in English, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the box art's kind of cool. I have an image of it. You know, I mean, it's just it's a clone sitting on an AT-RT.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it'll be a different pose.
Be the hard plastic.
I'm a little sad because I'm a Republic player or a Rebel player. So I'm like, man, I already have these units, you know.
Well, now you can fail to paint more of them.
I know, yeah.
I mean, at least for you, if they, for whatever reason, and I'm going to be honest with you, I doubt they're going to put any new weapons for the AT-RT in there. But if they do, at least you'll be collecting balls, so you'll have them on hand.
Oh, I have so many extra weapon upgrades. Yeah. but I'm excited for it a little bit. I'll probably buy one to start with. That's usually what I do. And then if I like it, I buy more. The clones are so expensive. I bought the tank, and I was like, man, it'd be cool to have two tanks, but that would be half your list.
And well, then, I mean, it's possible, because Rex being cheap and R2-D2 being cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more feasible for clones than it is for droids, because, until droids can get a cheaper commander, they're not going to be able to do dual heavy.
Yeah, and then it would just be, like, a bunch of bare bones clone troopers.
I mean, two light tanks, I mean, lightly upgraded tanks, that's a hell of a force to try and deal with.
Yeah, it is. And that's true. Like, the tank I had built was, I put the beam cannon on it, so it was over 200, you know, and I put a pylon in there, and so it was pretty costly. But yeah, you could drop the price down to, I think it's like 170 to start or something, so.
Huh.
And it's still pretty beefy, just a naked tank.
Cool.
Nice.
We got live streams for March got announced the other day.
Yes, so FFG is going to be doing 3 Legion live streams. We are getting spoiled from FFG.
Yeah.
If anyone thinks that FFG doesn't care about Legion, you are wrong.
I think it's the only thing they care about left at this point. So.
They are heavily invested in it, which I think is good.
Yeah. But on the 5th, there'll be a painting live stream. But the 2 exciting live streams, in my opinion, is on the 12th will be Cassian and my boo Aiden. I'm looking forward to Aiden so much. They're going to be showcasing both those pieces, so we'll get a lot more of their spoilers. And then on the 17th, Vital Assets, they'll be actually showing gameplay with that.
Yeah.
So we'll get to see a lot more of that, and that is very exciting as well.
So that means we should see an April release for those units.
Yeah, so...
Because that's how it was for the tanks. We got like a mid-February, is that what it was? Stream on those guys, or early February?
Something like that.
And then and then the
ballpark.
Yeah.
So, at least for Worlds, because everyone's worrying still if Vital Assets is going to make it for Worlds. If they're showing off a live stream this late, I'm going to be honest with you, my speculation, my hot take, it's probably not going to be available for Worlds. So, I would say don't worry about that.
Even if it comes out, it's not going to be in time enough for the four Worlds, because it's what, 7 days or 11 days?
11 days.
11 days, yeah. I'm excited for Cassian. So, I wonder if we're going to see their counterparts too.
Yes.
See K2 and DO.
I'm hoping. Yeah. ID10T.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's your code name, Matt.
Yeah. Oh. That's hurtful.
Yeah.
And I know we keep bringing up Worlds. If anyone wasn't aware, Worlds is during Adepticon, which is March 25th, 29th. So with the AAT coming out on the 20th, yes, that's technically under the 11-day limit, but they are making an exception for Worlds.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was supposed to be out now, so it's good.
And as I mentioned, I will be at Adepticon this year. I'm very excited to go. And also, I will not be competing in Worlds.
Oh, man.
Because if you've listened to the show before, you know reasons.
I was going to ask if you were practicing for Worlds.
I'm practicing. It's not paying off very well.
But... Practicing standing and watching other people play.
Yeah. This is good, yeah.
You've got your little opera binoculars.
No, I'm on standby for some of the Funzy events, but I'll just be hanging out and saying hi to the guys running the stuff, and I'm sure, I'll see you there if you're going, I guess.
And if you're there, go up and say hi to Matt.
Yeah, I'll try to wear an Outrider
and buy a t-shirt from him.
Yeah. How do you think I'm going to pay for my trip?
Barricade.
To wrap up news. So I know we teased it last week, but this week we're going to have some new Patreon rewards, some information. Pay attention to the Facebook page because there's some sweet, sweet stuff. Daniel and Jeff have been going nuts coming up with great ideas, and I can't wait for us to show them off. We're just waiting for some concepts back to put them up. But just to say thank you for the people that have been supporting us on Patreon this entire time, or if new people want to come in and help support the show. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I think we're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about rule guide updates.
Yes, that's a big thing that's come out, and we got a lot to go over, so
yeah.
We're gonna need a break to sort everything and get that ready here.
But okay, guys, we'll be back in just a minute. And don't stop listening to the podcast at this point. Come on. Good stuff's coming up.
You're listening to the Legion Outriders podcast, a member of the Radio Free Tatooine Network. Now, back to the Outriders.
Hey there, Outriders. How you doing? Welcome back. You're looking good. But anyways, we've got some news we want to talk about first, real quick. A kind of a bombshell got dropped by FFG, and there's been some discussion about it online, specifically about the way they handle parts requests and support.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend too much time on those, but it does need to be noted, because it's kind of a kick in the pants.
I was pretty disappointed, because yeah. I've used their parts replacement before for legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
And for, so I think I posted this on the Facebook page when people were talking about it. I accidentally messed up one of my Imperial Assault models a long time ago. And I messaged Fantasy Flight, and I was like, hey, this is what happened. I was 100% honest. I basically yeah. had my my clear coat too close and melted the model a little bit, like little dots in it. It wasn't bad, but I was like, hey, I'll pay for new models, or a new model. Can I just get this one model? And they ended up shipping me like the whole, not the whole set, but all four core characters. And wow. just like, I think there was a nice note in there too that was like, we're sorry to hear about your, you know, accident. Like, here's some models. So wow. that parts replacement policy was, I think, one of the best customer service related things about FFG. That just it's an area that shines, you know.
Yeah, no, and Games Workshop has kind of the similar ethos, and they have for years. And it was good that FFG also had that, but now they're saying, hey, so you get the wrong part, go back to the store and have them replace it.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Sucks.
Yeah.
As somebody who spent a lot of time on the other end of that, like getting parts returns to your distributor and then they got to source it back, it takes time. It takes monies out of people's pockets. And honestly, I think it feels like they're trying to shift some of the costs back onto the independent retailers and probably just kind of hoping that, like, oh, I'm just missing an arm, I guess I can live without it.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Because are you going to return your core box because you're missing a gun or an arm? Which happened with mine. I was literally just missing one arm off of a trooper.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who was around during the launch of Legion way, you know, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. how many ATRT handlebars?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Get two left arms instead of a left and a right.
It still happens. I think it's probably gotten better anecdotally from what I've heard, but
I mean technically with the release of everything on sprues going forward, that should lessen the amount of missing parts. Damaged is another thing.
Yeah,
but you shouldn't have missing parts if they just slide the whole sprue in.
I think it would be easy for them to like slide a sprue in. Like when I was putting together the tank, there was a couple that were, you know, was the four missiles were kind of loosely attached on one side, or no, not even attached on one side. It was just like, you know, a missile connected to the sprue and then like another little tab and then the second missile. So like it was just hanging out there. You catch it the wrong way and off go your missiles.
Yeah. But I think for anybody that's bought multiple kits, at least it seems like most people have had an experience where they've had to get a parts replacement. So having to shift that, I don't know. This kind of has Asmodee's fingerprints all over it. It's kind of like a corporate decision to save money. And it sucks. This is not what a top tier leading company. This is not the moves you make.
So I understand if it, you know, for your regular board games, I understand that, you know, like, I don't know what another FFG board game is.
Smuggler's Run.
Yeah. You know, like you find out you're missing pieces in that. Yeah. You take the game back and you're like, hey, open this. There's missing pieces. They take it back, you know, and get it back. But for the one arm, like you said,
I don't understand. A little tiny parts replacement instead of schlepping the whole thing back to manufacturing. It seems really, really dumb.
And it almost feels like they could hold the manufacturer responsible for that, because I know they're outsourcing all these models, you know, they're not making them in-house, so you...
Yeah, I think a lot of... Yeah, coming from China and whatnot.
Yeah, you have them hold... or you hold them responsible, because you're going to have QA people probably doing checks on this stuff, like, hey, we noticed there's a lot of arms missing.
Yeah.
We need a batch of 500 arms in case...
Yeah, send them out. Yeah. We need Rex's Phase 2 helmet. Like 900 of them, please.
So I'm pretty sad to see this go away. I think it was a great program.
It's okay. FFG, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But I hope you get better soon. Yeah. Also, did you know Asmodee was French?
I didn't know.
No, well, French for, it's actually Asmodeus is the full name. One of the princes of hell.
Okay.
Anyways, enough said on that. So, yeah, but to happier climes, the rules.
The new RRG.
Yeah, for some people, happier for some people.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, think, there's a lot of good improvements
good
in there.
Stuff.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think what they're doing
is Daniel, fight him hard.
Yeah. I like rules changes.
Oh, okay, so we're all agreed.
Yes,
we're pretty happy.
No,
okay.
I channeled Josh for a second.
I guess. So.
You know, you want me to start screaming into the mic?
Pull your hair out.
Yeah. No, I like the rule changes. I think they're trying to make the game fair. I think they're listening to what the community is saying, and that's huge. Mm. Because X-Wing 1.0, I played that for a long time. It took a long time for changes to get implemented. You know, like, ships were broken. You know, certain lists were broken.
I guess we'll never know in 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, by long time, you mean waiting for them to release 2.0?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Coming up with little upgrade cards to make your ship usable again?
Yeah. So I think it's a good step in the right direction. Since they've had Legion going, you know, I mean, it's they've been putting a right foot forward, and this is just continuing that effort, which I like.
Cool. Well, we've got the synopsis, and this is available for, I think, most, but you made some notes on this, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. So, and I do encourage everyone, if you do play Legion in any serious sense, do read the document. There's a lot that we're not going to cover in here because we don't have, 4 or 5 hours to go over everything.
Do what I do and just play everything out of the box with the original point costs and rules.
And then ask your opponent, how does this work again?
Judge?
That's what we call a pro gamer move.
Yes. But they had one very interesting section that they put towards the front of the RRG now. They're actually a big section of margin of error. So I'm not going to go over the whole thing because there was a lot in there.
Can you summarize it
yeah,
for us?
Yeah, so the TLDR, the boils down to the final placement of the mini. Only the base matters, not the models. So they're really trying to eliminate any issues with overhanging models. So whether it be your bark speeders, the front of the hanging off, or a dewback tail. Or...
We didn't really see this until Tauntauns came out because they had the long tails.
Mm. True.
And then dewbacks had the long tails.
And even your tank here, I mean, that is a huge base, but that tank still hangs off it in multiple places.
It does, yeah.
That is a chonker. But anyway.
It's got a bit of an overbite with a cleft mouth.
Yeah, so... in the event where, say, you can barely reach melee, but, you know, an overhanging part of a model with an arc, which, you know, you can't just rotate it to fix it because that's going to affect your firing arcs.
Mm-hmm. Grievous.
Oh, yes. So basically they're saying if overhanging parts of the model prevent final placement of mini's base, you can adjust the final position to, quote unquote, within an acceptable margin to make the model fit. And this is
just make it as close as you can.
Yeah, so I mean, they're letting it be a little fuzzy on placement, which is good. I know this game can sometimes come down to millimeters, but
I
mean, this kind of goes with the spirit of the game, though, because it was meant to be that.
Sorry, I heard a rustling of John's body in the closet. So,
but like, I don't know. Since I've started playing this game, you know, I mean, it's been precision, but not the same precision that you would see out of like X-Wing or, you know, other games of that nature. You know, where you're measuring to the fraction of a millimeter if you can get past another ship, you know, or if you can move past another unit. So yeah, sometimes those things happen in this game, but it's nice that they're saying, you know, hey, we want you to have fun.
Yeah, and the RRG made an interesting recommendation for making this work. If you want to desire more precision, they actually recommend taking empty bases with you and temporarily replacing the minis if the models, you know, don't physically allow you to place them there. Just to be able to maintain the base position until the situation can be resolved.
Most people do that anyways, but it's nice to have...
Well, I don't have empty bases.
Like, yeah, just grab another. Yeah. Grab from your pile of dead troopers over on the side.
Just pop one off and throw the empty base out there.
Yeah.
Well, myself, I'm using all the premium bases, and yes, I bought like 3 packs of those things to do my army with.
No, what you can do is go to parts request and ask for it.
That
go back in my way back.
That physically hurt me. So.
I like that. I like the rule.
So yeah. I bet you someone in everyone's community is using those premium bases or doing something with bases. They got to have spares.
I have a ton of spare bases.
I have tons of spare bases. Yeah. So yeah, that's. not a huge deal. But that's interesting that they're actually defining that and actually putting that in the rule book, so we don't get those situations of, oh, you moved him 2 millimeters, blah, blah, blah. No, you can't put him there because the tail's there. And yeah. So
it is written.
So it is written. So speaking of bigger models, creature and emplacement and other notch-based trooper movements.
Wayne Bryan catalog? Yeah.
The movements of all troopers are being unified, at least on the ones with notch bases. So emplacements can now reverse. Creatures can't climb or clamber. And now creatures must withdraw from a melee. They can't just steamroll through.
You said they can't climb or clamber, right?
Correct. They cannot climb or clamber, just like emplacements.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tauntauns. You had to ruin it for everybody, didn't you?
Well, the Dewbacks, too. They just didn't have as long to...
Oh, yeah, Dewback.
They didn't have as long to do it.
Yeah. Have you guys played or played against a Dewback? Because I have not.
Once. I played a couple of games before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when they first came out. I was running 2 Dewbacks for a couple of weeks.
Okay, so. I missed that because, yeah.
And then I yeeted them to the shelf.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Because I'm scraping my memory from LVO.
I don't remember a Dewback.
I didn't see any out there when I played. I only played one Empire guy, though.
I think there was a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, they were probably there. They were just not memorable, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't shore troopers was the problem.
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you guys think?
Speaking of...
Do you like that rule? I think it's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely...
I want to play with it.
Yeah, but. It definitely tones down the Tauntauns. I did forget to mention, when a creature trooper withdraws, it can still get its free actions, though. So you're still getting your agile, you're still getting your relentless.
Yeah.
Relentless and other attacking, other free actions. Yeah. So
I know when I first played the Tauntauns, when I realized that I could run from like unit to unit at speed 3, I was like, man, this is just crazy.
Just
so
ping, ping, ping.
Yeah. And suppress people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Run in, displace, ram.
Yeah.
Run to the next group, displace.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It's a good change, but it doesn't change what the unit can do. Like I don't know. It's good because they're not changing the card. They're not changing. You know, a lot of people were like, "Oh, just go in and errata the card or whatever."
Mm.
But I mean,
I think they try to avoid that.
You know, and I think this is a good change. You're not changing the core of what the unit does, but you're just stopping it from doing those crazy things afterwards. But.
Cool.
All right. So
that's all the creatures.
Detachments now must, in addition to being speed 1 from their parent unit, they also have to deploy within height 1. So
that makes sense to me.
I think I only saw this once during LVO, where somebody deployed their mortar on the ground, but they deployed the parent unit up in a tower.
Oh, that's funny. I did the opposite.
You did the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then probably cost me the game.
Yeah, it's because the mortars can't climb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it has to be within height 1, which, I mean, makes it sense.
Actually, the choices I made during the game probably cost me the game.
Oh, move the last trooper out that you needed to score? Was that game?
No, oh, okay. Different one. Just another one I lost.
So many games
so
to
many,
keep
man.
Track
yeah. Another point here, you can no longer lock a notch base mini in place, so it can't pivot by placing something in its notches.
Thank you for saying that.
Or a base within the notch, or no more notch to notch.
Yeah,
I remember that was a big thing how long ago.
We don't talk about the Josh times.
I mean, I understand. I do understand why people do this, because you're looking for those advantages to like win a certain game or like, you know, hinder a certain unit.
Not in the spirit of how the game is played.
Yeah.
Using a physical mechanic to...
Yeah. That's rough.
Annoy.
It frustrates really. Me. Yeah. Annoy. Yeah. It frustrates me to no end, but I understand it. But then, like, usually when somebody does that to me, I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to, my life's goal is to kill you now.
Yeah.
Not in real life, but, you know.
No, out in the parking lot. Yeah. We got a tire iron.
So that stuff frustrates me. I just want to play the game and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Competitiveness is good, but there's a point where it just gets like a heaving sigh.
There's a difference between like competitiveness and like clean play.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
If your opponent is sharpening their sprues,
Yeah.
But one of the biggest ones out of the RRG here.
Plastic knuckles.
Yeah.
They've been smeared in coronavirus.
Oh my god.
Bigger one that's come out of this is the now bounty and secret mission victory points do not interact in any way.
Yes, again, thank you.
So yes, now you feel free to bounty R2 and now Padme. Feel free to throw those victory points around. They're not going to cross over each other.
Yeah, that felt really frustrating to me as a Rebel player and a Republic player, because you know, we don't get those bounty keywords. So seeing a bounty character who could pull a token off of my character, and I couldn't do the same in return, like,
seems
that's
a
not
little ridiculous, right? Yeah.
So it's good that they isolated those. Yeah, that is not the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So,
good change.
Yeah, so that's a big change for that. And with the more and more bounty and secret mission cards coming out, that would have just caused more issues. So glad that they were able to button that up. When a unit leader is displaced, they're now placed at speed 1, not range 1 of their original position.
That's kind of a big deal.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people were doing speed 1 unintentionally.
So, yeah, honestly.
Yeah, because I know
that I might have been myself. Yeah.
I've played with people who, you know, they would displace something and I'm like, all right, you know, place my guy. Or I would displace something and I'd be like, all right, you know, place my guy range 1. And they're like, no, speed 1. And I'm like, no, range 1. So now they're like, oh, okay, speed 1.
Sweet.
Back to speed 1.
Well, back to speed 1. Yeah. How much do we lose off that? A couple inches?
Yeah, not very much.
3 and change.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not, yes.
I mean, it's a big
difference. Good.
But
I mean, yeah, like, because
it makes sense.
That range,
like,
one.
Yeah. You know, Wilhelm screaming, flying across the table.
It's a big jump, and it can swing games.
Yeah, and depending on who was doing the displacement placement, that could actually be a big change and a big swing. Where was I? You can now pre-measure with the movement tool at any time, but only movement tool and one range tool at a time. So, unfortunately,
you can't just chain out, like, all your possible combinations.
Hey, I mean,
moves.
Since we're all bringing blank bases now, you throw your 3 out there, throw your blank base, throw your 2 there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No,
unfortunately.
I'm glad that they say specifically, because this was a big problem in, like, War Machine when they started doing the proxy bases, is they'd have all the, you know, you'd bog down the game, have somebody have a 45-minute turn just trying to plan out the optimal movement for the turn.
Break out your protractor.
So, yeah.
I kind of liked the old way where you could only pre-measure movement on that unit's activation, because I think it did save time.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to get people now who are going to, like, measure everything.
That's fair. I guess we'll have to see how it played out. I'm sure that there's a reason they did it.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I mean, they said the reason was they don't want to have gotcha moments. They're
right.
Like, oh, you're, you know, a hair short.
But, you know, and, I mean, like, most of the time when I'm measuring with a unit, like, it's because I'm activating them. I don't need to pre-measure other units, you know, And I feel like it gives away. I'm not going to do it very often. I know, because I feel like it gives away what you're planning on doing for the rest of that.
That's
turn.
True too. Like if I'm like, huh, let me check to see if, you know, Dooku is within range. Oh, he's a little bit out. I'm just going to wait for you to move that unit.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to move it closer now?
I know for me, there's been times where I've been like, oh, I'm going to check range, and then my opponent's like, oh, you got range to that, and I'm like, I do, because you just saw me measure it. So yeah, I probably won't be doing this one. I like the old way, of just not even using.
So it's available in your toolkit of things you can do. Maybe don't telegraph exactly what you're planning, though.
I'm sad because I used to call people on this all the time. They'd put the movement tool down and next to something else. Like, can't do that.
That's your gotcha gameplay.
Yeah,
like, I know this obscure rule.
Yeah.
Not really obscure, but.
Yeah. But it's not bad. 1-1 is okay.
Mm. All right. And hopefully we'll see more of these. But smoke tokens will
now. Smoke tokens?
Yes.
People use those?
Well, I mean, the R2 players do, but I don't know if anyone else does.
I used one in our skirmish tournament. I had the smoke tokens with me.
How'd that work for you?
It was okay. The moving, or the I don't know, for a trooper that has nothing to do and just chucking a smoke token out there early. It gives moving cover, you know, like I can move my stuff up the field and not worry about having that, you know, taking those cover nothing shots from other units.
This could be helpful.
Yeah.
But smoke tokens now, instead of just creating cover one, they add one to cover in a similar vein to suppression.
I kind of like that. So you got some light cover. Hey, you got heavy cover now because you're in the woods and it's smoky.
They had announced this is not a big change. You're just adding it because it was on the FAQ. And it was after one of the streams that Alex Davey corrected this. But it's just finally in the rules.
Cool.
Yep. And then Carteradas. Now, this is the big one, the second big one, other than the creature adjustments to bring the Tauntauns down.
I have a feeling that this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, so the comm relay is now non-emplacement trooper only. So this cuts out the comm shoreline
shenanigans.
Does this effectively shut it down now?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, it does. I mean, it tones short troopers back to
just being good, not
being OMG, WTF, BBQ. I'm not lying. I've said it here on the podcast before. I ran shorelines during LVO with this. And being able to, on my, you know, voracious, ambitious turn, one pip, only one command token going out, but then bouncing it off the entourage token off my Death Troopers to the shore, to the mortar, to the shore, to the mortar, to the shore, to the mortar.
From the window all to the wall.
All yeah. to the, and hey, look, I've, you know, on my voracious ambition, cunning turn, I'm going first no matter what, and I've got five tokens already out. So
oh, hey, yeah, all these guys got aims.
Yeah, and everyone's got aims, yeah. and everyone's got surge tokens, yeah. and yeah, so that's definitely going to tune them back considerably. I mean, they're still great. I'm still on the fence because I do love the new Stormtrooper models out of the upgrade pack, mm-hmm. and I'm in the process of painting all mine. But I still think I'm most list building I'm playing around with is going to be mixing shores and storms, not just being all shores. So.
I think it's a good change. I think it's a necessary change because, I don't know, I like
We saw the list breakdown for LVO.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I just like something the way that each army plays very differently than every other army. I love that about this game. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, you guys got Tauntauns. I want a unit like Tauntauns. Well, I mean, I don't want that, you know, copycat unit across everything. Yeah. And this kind of felt like it opened up what the droids would do, you know, where you pass tokens down the chain.
Right.
So it took that back, gave it to the droids, and now,
yeah. Except, yeah.
Just Empire go back to your gun lines and leave me alone.
Man, get off my lawn.
Yeah. Yeah, and Empire does not have the drawback of AI attacks. So.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's great that you can pass them around, but you have that
you
drawback
mean the
if
benefit.
You're able to.
Then, oh, yeah. Wait. Why would they program it for it if it wasn't good?
It was a good change. And again, yeah. like, they just changed one card, not, like, the core of what... you know, that token passing did. Because you can still issue to the shore troopers, which bounce it to the, you know, their little detachment.
Just, you can't have, like Daniel said, seven tokens out on the table. And commanding presence specifies range 1-4 as opposed to range 4.
Yep. So,
ooh, good.
It was a small
finally,
tweak.
Solved that mystery.
Well, and it did affect one thing, is if you did put it on an entourage commander, you had an interesting interaction that you could pass the entourage at 1, 2, and 4. So, yes, there was a range 3 donut if
holy
you actually
crap.
Did that.
Really?
So now that that's actually made it, so it's 1-4 no matter what. So it did actually affect if you use it on either Palp or Krennic.
Well, I'm glad that that's been resolved amicably.
I feel like some
without
of this stuff,
bloodshed.
Yeah, some of this stuff is just common sense. Yeah. You know, you
it just needed. What about Wedge?
Oh, Wedge. So as the Rebel player, have you ever flown a T-47?
He doesn't even have a T-47.
It's in John's garage right now.
Oh.
I just haven't. I need to pay up for it.
I mean, you could always borrow one of mine.
I know. Yeah.
I got two.
I talked They're to beautiful. John about buying his, and then he tried to sell it out from under me. So I gotta. I don't know.
Because he doesn't respect you.
Yeah, I guess.
But now pivot as a free action.
So yeah. So instead of being tap spend an action pivot 360.
Yeah.
It's now tap free action pivot. So it does increase the action efficiency.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know if it's actually getting him any more table time, but it's a nice upgrade, I guess. Yeah. If a world where the
two people
Outer
playing.
Rim jockeys didn't exist with your Wookiees crammed into the cockpits.
I just figured it was for the two people playing Wedge.
Gavin.
Yeah. Oh.
He has one of two.
Okay, right. What else we got?
A whole host of new keywords, we're not going to go over all of them because there is a lot.
Hit the good ones.
Hit the good ones, the ones at least that weren't already spoiled on other spoilers that have come out. But we got some clarification on covert ops because it was a big question is, what if Iden or Cassian becomes an operative but you don't have another commander? Well, now it specifies that you have
don't
to choose.
Do that.
I don't recommend it. Yeah. I made a few memes to the point already.
Yeah.
But yes, it specifies you have to promote either specifically a core or special forces unit as your commander. It doesn't let you just pick anyone. So if you're running Cassian and Luke, you can't just say, hey, Luke, you're in charge now.
And that's for the rest of the game, too. As soon as you do that covert ops, I'm pretty sure that means that you can't promote.
Bravo 2 going dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my
what were we supposed to do again?
I mean,
I said I'm
theoretically, if the unit you promote to commander then dies, you can then nominate a commander per regular rules. So, you can name some worthless naked rebel unit trooper unit and just run them out there and have them killed as rebels tend to do.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see the interaction on that because maybe that's only, like you said, only when that covert ops does that. But it just seemed like to me, once you did that, you know, you were going to pick the core special forces the rest of the game.
Yeah, and as of right now, because I know Iden is Courage 3, but I'm blanking on Cassian because I didn't look at him too hard.
Oh, man, I don't know off the top of my head.
Hey,
But
keep talking. I'll look it up.
Yeah. So, but anyone that you're going to be giving that commander token to is going to be less courage. So you're lowering your courage bubble for your army. So, there's maybe corner cases where you use covert ops, but as of right now, without, you know, and maybe once we have the live stream later in March and we see more of what's going on with both of their kits, we could see more reasons to do it. But
I mean, I could see not caring. Like, my LVO list was very heavy.
Courage 2.
Courage 2. Okay, so it's not going to matter for Cassian, but for Iden, I mean, this is the first Courage 3 commander for Imperials, because both Veers and Krennic are 2, and then this silly expensive Vader and Palp, well, you're building your army completely differently around them because just of their point cost. But this is, I believe that Courage 3 bubble is going to be way more important than getting Iden up the field that much further.
Hmm.
But that's my hot take. And like I said, may change once we have the live stream.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you're looking at across the table from me. You know, if you're looking at an 8 activation mat list, maybe you're like, oh, I'm not worried about suppression.
Nah. Wait, should we be?
I don't know.
Okay.
What do these yellow tokens do? I don't know.
Yeah, ignore them. Oh, they give me cover.
Nice.
Wait.
So,
trying to say what?
There's a new keyword, expend, which is, unlike the tap icon on upgrades, there's an X instead of the arrow turning it to tap it.
Yep.
That is to denote single use per game.
So launch updates. Your torpedo and be done with it.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, these are going to first show up in the vital assets, the little, cargo crates,
supply crates.
So, they're going to work in, at least as far as I see it, a lot like Imperial Assault supply crates. Or you get an upgrade and you can burn it once. So
this reminds me of like Battlefront 2, you know, running around getting supplies.
Yeah.
Get the supply drop.
Yeah.
I don't know which character that was, but I used to do that all the time. Yeah. I don't know. It's cool.
And another keyword, incognito. So with somebody with incognito cannot be attacked by enemies outside of range 1. And once they interact with an objective, attack something else, or defend from an attack, so you get someone in close to attack them, they then lose the keyword. So speculation...
It also doesn't show up on your browser history.
Speculation, this is going to be on K2SO, so you're going to be wondering, wait, what's that Imperial droid doing over there? Droid stuff. And there's another one in it for you, if you talk back again.
And I'm looking forward to
busy doing Empire stuff. Oh yeah, lots of Empire stuff.
Empire, Empire business. Empire business. Yes. that'll be interesting to sneak K2SO and keep them away from the other forces.
Yeah, and that's just speculation from your part that it's going to be on K2.
All right. So, loadout. Now, this was another thing with Iden and Cassian.
There was a lot of questions. Yeah, on
a lot of questions on how that was going to work. So, for each individual upgrade slot, you can have one additional upgrade kind of on a sideboard.
Yep.
Has to be equal or lesser value of the first chosen upgrade, and when you deploy that mini. You then choose which of the two upgrades per slot that you equip when you deploy. So, of course, because you have to deploy equal or lesser, whatever the most expensive combination of upgrades that you're going to do is going to what's count towards your army point calculation.
Huh.
I mean, it gives a lot of flexibility. It's like, do I want Hunter or Offensive Push?
Yeah, and actually sitting down the board like, oh, wow, okay, there's a lot of line of sight blocking, so I don't need sniper config on this one or vice versa. I like it. Yeah, it's cool. Very flavorful.
So you took like grappling hooks, and you're like, "Yeah, there's nothing to climb. Leave those at home." I can't wait to use this.
Go climb on Palpatine.
Can't wait to use this and deploy Cassian, and then be like, "Oh, I forgot to do my loadout." You know, after I deploy my next character, because that's what I do. Like with Jyn, I'm like, "Oh, I forgot to select which configuration I'm in." So looking forward to messing this up.
Oh, you silly goose!
Yeah.
I'll just have to Sharpie it on the back of your hand.
Yeah.
Another interesting one, Long Shot X. So you can spend X aim tokens to increase your range by 1. So I'm just curious.
Is it too early for Kobe jokes?
Yeah. Oh. No,
okay, that's fine. All right. No. All right, Long Shot.
So, I mean, theoretically, this could be on one of the 2 sniper units, the either the ARC Troopers or the Commando Droids. I'm just thinking with fuzzy text, I don't know if we were able to read it right.
We didn't even get to see like what Echo or Fives had. Yeah, I mean, there could be upgrades down the pipe. We don't really know.
True. So, but hey, I mean, shoot, with ARC Troopers getting tactical and all the other ways to pass aim tokens. I mean, it's going to be awesome. Marksman.
I'm so excited for this one.
Yeah. For Marksman?
Yeah.
Yes. So, of course, everyone was speculating, and speculation was correct.
Yay.
So, for to once. To once.
Speculation. Jeez.
So, when you to improve a die result, it just increases it by one level from blank to hit to crit. So if it's a blank, you move it to a hit. If it's a hit, you move it to a crit. If it's a crit, why are you spending it?
So. I need this.
Super crits, obviously.
I need this on a Z6, and I need to get, like, 9 aim tokens so I can improve all of my misses to hits. How do I do that?
2 more hands so I can give that idea 4 thumbs down.
Oh, man.
Oh, and the last keyword that I thought was interesting is small. So this mini is ignored for determining cover, line of sight, and ranged in range attacks. So basically it's something so small that you don't even see it when you're trying to attack something. Speculation is we're likely going to see this on ID10 as the staunch Imperial player. I'm not calling it Dio. She only called it Dio after she defected to the Rebel terrorists. So it is ID10.
So when do we get Iden?
Turn 2. Because if it's anything like the Battlefront campaign, it was the second freaking mission that she... Oh, my God. EA, I hate you. Anyway.
Oh, that's the reason. Okay, wow.
So you're saying in the month after she releases, we'll get the Rebels.
I mean, you're on the right side of the conflict. Yeah. I'm just questioning your reasons.
But that is all the keywords. Is there anything interesting you guys saw? Or?
No. So as soon as the rules came out, and there's been 2 since they dropped this one, because they did a 1.6 and then it a 1.6.1 where they like fine tune some words.
Oh, yeah.
So make sure you have the newest copy. Yeah. I don't think it goes live yet.
Went live yesterday, sir.
Oh, did it go? Okay. So live yesterday.
Yeah. LJ posted it up there. Yeah, oh, so by the way, this is the thing now. Yeah.
February 28th.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I went through and started.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
happy
reading.
Leap day, everybody.
Oh, yeah. So
we'll have to do this again in 4 years.
Yep. Well, no. Since it's every other week, it'll be 8.
Oh, yeah. 8 years. Okay. I'll see you in Legion 3rd edition.
If we're lucky.
Yeah. It's just going to be the all Vader meta.
No.
No, sir, it's no. Yeah.
But anything else we want to touch on? I think that's pretty good. We're kind of hitting our time there. But
yeah.
Jeff, any last thoughts?
No, just keep an eye out for the Patreon post that should be coming later this
so
week.
Yes, so he's our Facebooking guy now.
Yeah, we're working on the production means. We've already got kind of like some...
You gotta seize those means of production.
Yeah. What else do we have? We have some like rough draft stuff that we've got. So I'm excited to get it out there for
good
our
deal.
Patreons.
You on Twitter, Instagram, anything?
No, I'm on Facebook.
You're on Discord.
Yeah, Facebook and Discord.
And I too am on Facebook and Discord. No, I'm not... the social butterfly that you are, Matt.
I'm a butterfly. But you can hit us up on Discord. Yeah, Facebook's usually the best way to contact us. We'll have those things put up. We do have a Twitter account that's tied to the Facebook, so you can get the notifications either way that way. I also am on Twitter at @GRN_Archer and streaming on Twitch at @Captain_Archer. But otherwise, I think that's a wrap for this week. We'll see you real soon there, Outriders. Have a good one.
You've been listening to the Legion Outriders podcast, a member of the Radio Free Tatooine Network.
Only now, at the end, do you understand?
For more from the Outriders, make sure you like us on Twitter @LegionOutriders, subscribe to our Facebook page at facebook.com/LegionOutriders, and make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks for listening.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.